Take your Bibles, please. Judges chapter 2, quickly. Judges chapter 2, and I promise you I will be shutting this down, my part of things, before 7:30, and we'll keep things rolling. And I just want to talk to you. To our visitors, thank you for being with us. To our regular folks, thank you. I know it's an added night, Monday and Tuesday this week, but I sure do appreciate you being here. If you were here last night, you're ready to come back tonight, let me tell you. And Judges chapter 2, I'm going to read two verses to you. I'm going to read verse 7, and then I'm going to skip down to verse 10. And I want to read both of these verses to you, and I just want to talk to you. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. Verse 10. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. And there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. I'll be honest with you. I don't know a passage of Scripture that in some ways could be more saddening to me. Let me take just a moment to say this. It has been the honor of my life to be around great preachers and men of God. I don't understand it. I'm just the son of a machine repairman from Canton, Ohio. But at the age of 13, I asked God to use me. I began preaching 39 years ago. For some reason, God put me on a journey to where he put me around great men. I worked and loved and still love Dr. Jack Hiles, my preacher, my hero. I make no bones about it. You don't like it, tough toenails. I'm not changing, and you'll have to change. I'm not. I got to not just go to college there. I got to work for him, got to be close to him. I loved Brother Hiles. I got to meet and know Dr. Lester Roloff. We just sang that song a moment ago. I leaned to Brother Fugit and said, man, it makes me think of Brother Roloff, living by faith. Brother Roloff was about 3 inches shorter than me and about 60 pounds lighter. He looked like a broom with two arms. He was a health food nut. And I mean, to the nth degree. He used to laugh at Brother Hiles. He'd say, Brother Jack, the way you eat, you're going to die early. Brother Hiles said, Brother Lester, the way you fly, you're going to die early. And Brother Roloff ended up crashing the plane and dying. And Brother Hiles lived to 74 and died of a heart attack. They both were right. I loved them both. Knew and got to spend many, many hours with Dr. Lee Robertson. Boy, what a giant of the faith. One of my dear heroes, Dr. Joe Boyd, great big strapping preacher, just a big giant of a man. He played for the Washington Redskins. He was drafted and then broke his neck and had to quit and went into preaching. Of course, Dr. Russell Anderson, our dear friend, my dear friend. And I mean this in that same list, a man like Dr. Jeff Fugate. Let me jump into the scripture. You'll see why I started where I did in a moment. Joshua was a loyal, wise, godly, faithful, humble, hardworking assistant to a man named Moses. His goal was to care for Moses and take care of whatever Moses needed. At one point in time, Joshua would push a rock under Moses to where he could sit down, and Joshua would hold the arms up. He would be battling while they did that. He said, make sure the man of God's safe. I'll go down here and fight. He said, you take care of him. When Moses would go to the mount to get the law and to get the things that God pinned on those two tablets of stone, guess who went partway up the mountain with Moses both times? He followed close. Joshua was hand-trained by Moses. Moses made some mistakes, wasn't able to take the children of Israel into the promised land. But God said, I got somebody. Joshua's there. You go to Joshua chapter 1, you'll see Joshua leading 3.5 to 5 million people saying, as God commanded Moses, so do we. He was following the old way. Yet we get to the book of Judges. Here in Judges chapter 2, the Bible says, and the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua. And in verse number 10, said, and there rose another generation that knew not the Lord nor his works. Well, what happened? How could we go from Moses to Joshua to the elders that lived and worked with Joshua to where a generation that didn't even know God? Can I tell you something? Joshua had no Joshua. I believe the biggest problem we face today is that we're not training other great leaders to train other great leaders. We are not reproducing our ability to reproduce the next generation. Where's the skilled trades in America today? Where are the homemakers in America today? Where are the strong marriages in America today? I was talking to somebody recently. They said, how long have you been married? I said, I've been married a little over 30 years. They said, 30 years? I'm not sure I've ever met anybody that's been married that long. I said, oh, shut up. I wanted to weep. I said, well, that's nothing. My mom and dad have been married since Noah got off the ark. I said, they've been married 58 years, almost 60 years. I said, my grandparents have been married 75 years before they passed away. I said, I've got four aunt and uncles that have been married over 50 years, and then my parents on top of that. I said, I'm the baby in the family. They said, we never heard of anything like that. There was a day in America where that was normal. We have failed to teach the next generation that they're responsible for training the generations following to train their generations following. Let me take just a few moments and let me teach you how we can do this. Number one, we need to live what we've been taught. We need to live what we've been taught. Visitors, don't worry. Wait a minute, that was already on. There it is. Don't worry, visitors, I won't hurt you, but I'm not part of this newfangled junk. Amen. Bless the Lord, we're an old-fashioned Baptist church. We don't have follow the bouncy ball. We don't have all the modern contemporary music. We're not trying to draw a crowd. Manure can draw a crowd too. It might not be the crowd you want, but it'll draw a crowd. We don't need to copy the world. We need to obey what God said. Can I tell you something? God knew what he meant when he said, upon this rock I will build my church. It's not my church, it's his church. I've said this all along. I'm not the pastor of Grace Baptist Church. God is. I'm just his assistant. It's not my job to lead and be the head leader here. It is positionally here, but I'm supposed to do what he says. I answer to somebody. You see, we don't need to try all the new gadgets and gadgets. Jesus said, just go house to house. Let's just go house to house to every creature. Get the gospel to every creature. Can I tell you something? We're supposed to live to where they want what we have. They ought to drive by and say, what's going on at that crazy place? Come on and find out. It'll be okay. You'll be crazy with us. Just take your meds first, please. We need to live what we've been taught. Some of us have been taught the right way, but we don't live it. Are they doing okay? I got to hurry. Number two, we need to teach and train the next generation what to do. If you just live it, but you teach no one else, that's good for you, but you can't reproduce yourself. I thank God that I have a godly heritage. But I'm the only preacher in the family until he came along. Don't take this the wrong way, but son, stand up here for a second. If all I ever did was I did what I was supposed to do and never taught him what to do, where would the next generation be? But my job is bigger than that. I'm not just supposed to live it and just to teach it to him. I'm to live it, teach it to him, and teach him how to teach the next generation to teach the following generation. If it stops here, that's bad. If it stops here, it's better, but it's still bad. How about my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren? Isn't that the way it's supposed to be? Thank you. You can have a seat. That's what Sunday school is all about. Say, how can I, you say, well, preacher, my kids are grown and maybe they're not living right. Okay, but there's Sunday school kids all over the place here. Get you in a Sunday school class or junior church and start helping. Train some young people how to live. Did you know most of them, a lot of, especially the ones that come in on the bus, don't have a mama and daddy that care about them? We have two young people come to our church. If you only knew what that family lives in. Their mother has disowned them. They don't know who their dad is. And mom's under investigation for murder. And wouldn't care if her kids died. Well, those teenagers had a birthday, and the only people to wish her happy birthday were the people in this church. Her mama never even wished her a happy birthday. Teenage, yeah, happy birthday, Gus. 10 candles and 10 cakes. That's my buddy. Yeah, buddy. Can I tell you something? Say, preacher, why did you choose tonight to preach this? Because that's what Bible college is all about. I believe it's our responsibility, and you can say what you want. I believe it's best for our young people to spend 1 year in Bible college before they go anywhere and do anything else. You need to get there, get solid in the faith, away from home, find out what you believe, why you believe it, how to live it around people that you're not related to. Be under a man of God like that who's going to take care of you and teach you right. Then launch into your career if there's something else to do. But maybe God will work on your heart and show you a better direction. And by the way, you're not going to get that on online college. Would you want somebody to operate on your heart that got their degree online? I'd say, would you want somebody to operate on your brain? But half of you wouldn't have to worry about it. In the last 6 months, I've had about four times I've had people want me to put my material online and teach in an online college. I have no desire to teach on an online college. You say, well, you could help somebody. I might, but it's better if they get it from a person. There's more to Bible college and there's more to college than just facts and figures. That means we've got to get our young people, and we've got, as young adults and middle-aged adults and as people in this church, it's time to get involved. That means when there's an activity, if at all possible, I think you ought to be there. Whether it's for the teenagers, whether it's for the kids, whether it's for the adults. Somebody say amen. I think when we go soul winning, you ought to try to go soul winning sometimes. I didn't say you had to have somebody saved. I said we're supposed to go soul winning. God said, take the gospel to every creature. You know, he never required you to make sure somebody gets saved. But can I tell you something? The more times you go, the more people you're going to see get saved. I think we ought to be at church every chance we get. Amen. I wasn't a church mouse. I was a church rat. I was there all the time. I got church before the preacher ever did. Yeah. I lived 5 blocks from the church. My mom and dad came to every church service. I'd leave half hour before they did, walk to church and be there and wait for somebody with a key to open the door. Say why? I just wanted to be there. I think we ought to participate in the music here. Just don't sing loud if you don't sing. No, if you sing like me. Let's train people in the old-fashioned way. Number three, we need to train them to train the next generation, to train the following generation. You know, fundamentalists are good at following a strong leader. But they don't usually last long after a strong leader passes off the scene. Seen it too much. You say, why? Because they get a taste for something else. They want to change. Bless the Lord. If God takes me home and I kick off tonight, do me a favor. Don't change the thing or I'm coming back and burning it to the ground. You can fight the county. And give my blood, sweat, and tears for you to change this mess. You start changing the book, I'm coming back. I know how this building was built and know how to pull it down. Yeah, buddy. This is why many churches change so quickly after a great leader passes off the scene. You say, why? Because we are weak at training the following generations. They say, well, that was the old way. How about let's try something new? Did you know the new way is not always the best way? The closer you get to the source, the purer it is. We not need to only be able to reproduce. We need to teach the next generations how to reproduce and teach them how to teach reproducers. I'm for new personalities, just not new methods. I have 3 minutes. Everybody look at me. The key to all of this is this. Joshua put himself in a place close to the leader to where God could use him. The key was not Moses. Moses didn't choose Joshua. God did. Moses just kept close to the man of God. He said, I'll just stand close to him. And when he went over here, he said, I'll stand close to him over here. When he went over here, he said, I'll just stay close to him just in case he needs something. Say, how'd you get close to some of those great men, preacher? Just stayed around. Hung around. Didn't say that much. All of a sudden it was, Brother Bush, would you take care of this person? Be glad to.
That's right.
Brother Bush, would you spend some time here? Be glad to. You see, we need to get our kids close to great people. I recommend one Bible college, Commonwealth Baptist College. Can I tell you why? The great people that work there, the great leadership. I want our kids around that. I trusted all three of my children for him to be their pastor. That's how much I trust them. By the way, when they left home, I said, you go join his church while you're there. I'm not your pastor, he is. You get his advice. But dad, yeah, but preacher. He's your preacher. I'll talk to you as your dad, but not your pastor. We, as leaders in the church, Sunday school, and etc., let me ask you a question, Sunday school teacher. As you look across your class this coming Sunday morning, who are you training to take your place? Who are you training in the choir to bring into the choir? Who are we training as soul winners to bring somebody else in? Who are we training to work on bus routes and work in junior church and help in the nursery? Amen. Not me. Can I tell you something? The problem was this. Nobody hung around Joshua. Joshua had nobody that hung around him that he could train. The problem is Joshua had no Joshua. I'm not blaming Moses. I'm not blaming Joshua. Where was the young person who would hang around, or the person that's just newly saved to get close? There is so much to get done around here. There are so many people to help. There are so many heartaches. Every day of my life, I get to help people. I love to hear my son. He said just the other day, he said, Dad, have I told you? Man, I love my job. There's nothing better than helping people. Loving people, seeing God work. Can I tell you something? Jumping in the water's fine.